We're coming tonight to speak on the holy city. If you'll turn quickly to Revelation chapter 21, we'll read verse 1 and verse 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That will serve as the basis of the message of the evening, as we speak to you on the holy city. Ever since a little barefooted boy, I've been city-minded. As I told you last evening, I begged my daddy to let me go to a city. I didn't know what it looked like. I was 11 years old before I ever saw a train, railroad track, or ever saw a city. I knew nothing about anything but a rooster crowing about 4 o'clock in the morning, and the calves a bawling and the pigs squealing, and things of that kind. Always wanted to go to the city. And 50 years ago, God saved me and I started toward the holy city. I do not have it in my program to turn back. And I don't want to stop till I get there and put my hand on the gatepost. And I want to be on the inside then. Something inside of me that I feel like traveling on. And so we see a new heaven and a new earth that God has made for a purpose. And we see a holy city that God has made, and that for a purpose. But I want to do something tonight that may be of great interest to you. In my research, I find that there are exactly 7 cities in the Bible, and all 7 of them give you a complete history of man and of this thing of salvation. First is the city of Cain. He's the first man to ever build a city. Second is the city of Nimrod. He's a man that built a city and a tower to recover Cain's lost kingdom. And third is the city of Jericho, a city that the devil built. He built all of these cities. God has never built but one city in this world, and we'll deal with that presently. But there was the city of Jericho. That was a city of fragrance, flowers, the most beautiful city in the world. But God tore it down and said, cursed is the man that builds it back. A man built it back, and God saw to it that he built it back in the blood of his own sons. Then there's the city of Sodom, where Lot, a child of God, became mayor for a short time. Then there's the city of Babylon, that had one of the 7 wonders of the world, the hanging gardens in Babylon. Then there was the city of Jerusalem. The only city that God ever built was Jerusalem. It was the city of the great king. It was a city where all the great prophets of God had their headquarters until that city apostatized and God reprobated it and set it aside. Then there is the holy city. And tonight we are coming to look in on the holy city. And I must move fast, and yet I trust slow enough, or to get into your thinking to see the great God of the universe. He never does anything without a program and a plan, so far as he's concerned. God does nothing in time that he did not do in eternity past. There was a time when there was no time. There was a time when there was nothing but the great triune unseen God. God said, you're going to make the angels. Then there's a time there wasn't any angels. God said he's going to make the sun, moon, and stars, and there was a time they didn't exist. God said he's going to create this earth. Then there's a time it didn't exist. Only in the invisible gases that stream from Almighty God, and out of that, God created everything that you now see. And I'm making a statement that'll shake the bare daylights out of you. Nothing is real that you see. Everything you see is temporary. Will pass away. And the only thing that will be eternal and endure is that you do not see. We've been taught everything but the contrary to that, but it's so. Holy city. The city that God built and is building. One of these days, that city will be complete. Heaven and earth will be put together, and God's family that was blown apart will be sealed and brought back together. And the holy city will play a marvelous part in the new heavens and in the new earth. So we're asking several questions tonight. Question number one, what shall we say about the holy city? Well, several things I want to say. First, that it's a holy city. Can you conceive of a city, not a sinner in it? It's a holy city. And remember that sidewalks, buildings are not a city. A city is the people of God, as we'll see in a few minutes. What is Atlanta over here? Buildings, sidewalks, and so on and so forth, and concrete and steel. That is not a city. So it's a holy city. And you'll have to be made absolute holy, body, mind, and soul, if you're ever able to live in that city. Not only that, but it's a large city. Verse 16 says it, city lieth four square, 1,600 miles square, a perfect cube, 1,600 miles square, and 1,600 miles up that way. See? 1,600 miles. I travel a lot on the plains. When I get way up there, 12 or 15,000 feet high, the pilot usually radios back to us and says, gentlemen, we're flying at an altitude of 16,000 feet. I said, it's wonderful. We're just a little bit above the top of the holy city. I have a good time up there flying through. I say, devil, I'm flying right through the middle of your empire. Bible said he is the prince of the power of the air. Not only that, but it's a city that hath foundations. And the foundations of this city will never be destroyed while the ages of eternity rolls on. All of the other cities that I've enumerated in the Bible, every one of them have crumbled and fell. But here is a city that will never fall, for it hath foundations that cannot be shaken. And the next thing is that the maker and builder is God. You and I cannot conceive of this marvelous, matchless, master city that God himself has laid the foundations. Not only that, but it's an eternal city, a city that will never end, and the inhabitants that live in it have eternal life. Never be a gravesite dug on that hillside of God. There'll be no hospitals there, no jails there, no courthouses there, Nobody there but the Lord's people while the ages of eternity rolls along. Not only that, but it has 12 gates. And each several gate is a gate of pearl. Can you conceive of that? 12 gates at the north, 12 gates at the south, and the east and the west. I was praying one day, I said, Lord, why are you going to have 12 gates there? Well, they said if anybody took a notion to come to the city, they could get in anywhere they approach it, because I'll have open gates. It's closed now. But in that day when man's city will be no more, God will keep open the house and it'll have 12 gates, and each gate is a gate of pearl. And they're hinged by the love of God, and they'll never squeak and they'll never wear out. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 21, it said, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and a street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Thing that men go to hell over, we're going to walk on in heaven, walking on the streets of gold. But as I told you last evening, I'm not concerned necessarily about walking on the golden streets, because that'll be more in the sand pile to me unless I can find somebody on that street that I've helped to me to meet somebody in the world to come and say, Mr. Caldwell, you're the man that God used to help develop me in the other life. You're the man that God used to encourage me. You're the man that God used to preach the gospel when my young'uns got saved. You're the man that preached when I got saved. Ladies and gentlemen, to meet somebody on the golden street that says that to me, far as I'm concerned, that street would fade into oblivion, because that is the real thing you want to see. Not only that, but the street of the city is of pure gold. Think about it. Pure gold. And that's the city that Abraham looked for. And if you're the seed of Abraham, you've got but little interest in the cities of this world. You are looking forward to this eternal city that's a holy city with a holy God there, a holy Christ there, the Holy Ghost there. All of the angels will be holy, and every saint will be holy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what kind of a shape would you be in to be there, everybody holy and you unholy? My God, you jump out of heaven into hell to get relief, and you need to see it tonight. You know business there? If you weren't there, you'd be in hell. As I preached for 50 years, that there's a place hotter than hell. That's in the heaven outside of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:10, it said, for Abraham, look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You like that? Question number two. What is a city? Well, as I said a moment ago, a city is not sidewalks. It's not buildings. It's not an organization. Well, what is a city? It's not the police department. It's not the mayor. Not the big skyscraping buildings. What is a city? Are you listening? Hear me now and hear me well. If you don't get this point, you'll miss the rest of the message. What is a city? A city is the people and their culture. Now, look at the other cities. How about the city of Cain? Well, that city was the people and their culture. Go back and read it, and you shake and tremble. Run all of these cities through the Bible, and that holds good. It's the people and their culture. And the holy city is the people of God and their culture come to earth in that day when the city of man is no more. When every city that's ever been All the great cities of the earth will be piled up in ashes and dust. The holy city will come to this earth when the city of man is no more. Revelation 16:19 said, and the cities, the word is plural, and the cities of the nations fell. Are you listening? They're under the curse of God. And most of our homosexuals are living in the big cities. And our big cities is working in corruption, crime and corruption. And all of this is in our big cities. However, we have some of the Lord's people there too. But in God's own good time, he'll take all of his young'uns out of the city. See? He took Lot out before he destroyed Sodom, didn't he? He's going to take his young'uns, every one of them, out of these cities before they fall. Not only that, but all that is truly worthwhile on this earth has come to be the possession of that city of God. When all the cities are gone, you and I will be there in new heavens and new earth with a city that hath foundations whose maker and builder is God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, he said, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Yeah? Let us go forth. There's a negative and positive separation. I'm not interested in your sanctification if you're just getting out of something. I don't dip, I don't chew. Well, Judas didn't eat, and he went to hell. And chances are that's where you go if that's what you're looking at. Are you listening to me? You're to get out of something, you're to get to something. That's complete sanctification. And he's dealing with it here in the connection of this holy city. Therefore, let us go without the camp unto him. Without the camp. Now the camp here is religion. God has nothing good to say about religion. It's under the curse of God all through the Bible. And the Antichrist will be the most religious person the world has ever known. Going to take over all of these harlot churches and make the world drunk. Let us go without the camp. The camp of religion. Run that word camp out. It has to do with Judaism and apostate religion. Fill the country full of synagogues and God bypassed the last one of them. Therefore, let us go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. When you leave these old harlot churches, and God help you to get out of them, you're going to be under reproach, as certain as God's in heaven. You can't escape it. But you're going to be in a bigger mess if you don't get out. But God is going to destroy it. I read you a while ago, the cities of the nations fell. All right, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. I'm interested in every city in the earth, so far as I could help people. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I have no interest in the big cities of this world as such. Question number three, what is not found in the holy city? I'm going to enumerate some things that won't be found there, and that'll make heaven heaven and make this city a holy city. When we meet as the people of God, and every one of them born again, surrendered to God, you've got a holy congregation. Then the Holy Ghost will create a Holy Ghost atmosphere that will choke a devil to death if he can't come in and sit down in there. He'd take a sniper, he's going to sniff in, and he couldn't live in. And that's the way this thing is to be. So the holy city, it's called a holy city because of the things that will not be there. First, no sin be there, no sickness there, no death there. No devil there, no curse there, no sorrow there, and no tears there. Think about it. God, well, how long has it been since you cried? Well, I've been here 2 million years. I haven't shed a tear yet. No place for tears. Great God, you shed them here. And God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Your crime belongs to this life, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're not weeping in this life, I'm afraid you'll wake up in hell weeping. Are you listening? This Bible, in the four Gospels, every time a man sent to hell, he's sent there wailing and weeping. That's the most staggering, stunning, stinging statement in all of the Bible, to see that everybody goes to hell goes there weeping. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Why? For the former things are passed away. The things that cause you pain and suffering, it's all of these things that I mentioned, and they're done away with. And therefore, there can't be anything there except that that's holy. And God dwells as a holy God in a holy heaven, and all is well in my Father's house. Question number 4. What will be the purpose of the holy city? God has never done anything without a purpose, and it has a purpose in the building of this city. First, it'll be the capital of the new heavens and the new earth. You like that? And did you know that Jerusalem was the capital of Canaan? Sure was. And Jerusalem is exactly, geographically speaking, in the center of this earth. Exactly in the center of the earth. And God built Jerusalem, and it was the capital of Canaan when God's kingdom flourished in that day. So the holy city will be the capital of the new heavens and the new earth. That is, it'll be the White House. That'd help you see a little better. Every nation has a White House. United States has a White House. And so God will have his White House. Not only that, but it'll be the glory of God's Son in the new heavens and the new earth. Not only that, but it'll be the city of the great King. Think about it. In this holy city, the King himself will be there. And it'll be the city of the great King. Will there be anybody in that city? We'll deal with that in a few minutes. Not all of the Lord's people will be in that city. No, because it tells you the nations of the earth that are saved, that the kings of those nations shall bring their glory and honor into the city. Well, who'll be in the city? Hold your peace. We have good news for you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 24 to 27. And the nations, plural, the nations which are saved shall walk in the light of the holy city. And the nations which are saved shall walk in the light of it, the holy city. And the kings do bring their glory and honor into the city. You like that? The nations plural and the kings plural. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, these kings, and that's a ruler. You and I can be kings now and ruling the devil's outfit now, and we are failing if we don't. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Question number 5. Who shall be in the holy city? Now it's clear, isn't it, that God in the new heavens and new earth is going to have some nation. That's clear. Going to have some kings. That's people who developed the executive ability. If you can't reign here, you can't reign there. You can be there, but you can't reign. And what I'm trying to get you to see, that God's plan is that every man be a prophet, priest, and king. Now why don't you get in gear and quit this little goober-headed stuff? My God, let's get in gear and see God's great program. Well, I'll just be satisfied if I can get to heaven. You ought to be sent to hell. If that's your view of it, I'm not satisfied of anything less than God's best for my life and my best for God. Whatever the future may hold, I'm not interested in just getting to heaven. I'm not interested in that at all. I'm interested in serving God and my fellow man and God using me and developing me so that I can be used in the age to come. Who shall be in the holy city? Well, a careful study of the scriptures, I find that there'll be five different places of people. First, God the Father will be there. Second, God the Son will be there. Third, God the Holy Ghost will be there. And fourth, the holy angels will be there, for they're there now. See it? And fifth, God's executive branch will be there. You can live in the United States without living in Washington. You can live in the United States without belonging to Congress and Senate, or the Supreme Court of the Nations, you see, good? All right, now, God's executive branch will be in it. That is the 144,000. That will constitute God's structured society. And I want to be in that number so bad I don't know what to do. Ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't it be wonderful? Kings of the earth coming into the holy city. Is that that fellow, Elijah the Tishbite, here? I said, yes, sir. He's here. Now, you see the nations, don't you, plural? And you see the kings, plural. They're on the outside of the city, but they bring their honor and glory into the city. You could be in the kingdom of God without even being a king, just a subject. And that would be wonderful. Now, for God's sake, get there. Or you could be on the executive board in the great city of the great king, be associated with the king himself in the new heavens and the new earth. Scripture, please. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. Listen to it. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harp. That's perfect unity and perfect tranquility, isn't it? And they sung, as it were, a new song, where before the throne, in that city will be the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. What else? There are they which were not defiled with women. Great God, they got out of Babylon, left the old harlot church, got out of her and served God. Now, if you can't see that, there's something bad wrong with you. They were not defiled with women. That doesn't mean they're eunuchs. That didn't mean they never touched a woman. That's contrary to nature in this Bible. But it means they were free from the old harlot church. They which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. That isn't a particular group, I don't know. Now, you don't need to be sad-hearted. Well, if I can't get that, I can't get... No, no, wait a minute. Now, if I can't get a whole pie, bless God, I'll just take a piece of pie. And you ought to be like the prodigal son. They came home, said, Father, just make me a hard servant around here. I'm willing to be in your home, just to be a handy boy around here, just to be a hard servant. But you know, that boy came home, really, in repentance and faith. And the father doesn't receive anybody and let you work your way back into sonship. That'd be salvation for what you do. No, no. You're saved by grace. That's not a word of it. Put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and a robe on him, and bring him in as a son. Then, it's up to that son to make good. Question number 6. What is the entrance into the holy city? Now, I would to the Lord we had about a solid hour tonight. That isn't a trick I use, as the artists do, but I'm sincere about it. What is the entrance into the holy city? Now, you can get into the city without being a part of it, couldn't you? I can go to Atlanta without being on the police force. I belong to the executive branch. I'd have the privilege to go and walk up down the streets and enjoy the city. Well, in verse 16, it said, the city lieth four square. See? Then you're going to have to be squared up, brother. And there's four sights to you that must be sorrow. As a young man, I worked at a sawmill. Part of the men would go in the woods and cut the timber down and bring them down and bark the logs. And I worked at the edging plank. My daddy was a ratchet setter. He would sign the sawman what he wanted. But the first thing they did when that log was rolled up on the carriage was to square it. Here comes that saw, took over side, turned it over. Until they squared that log. Bless God, when they squared that log, then they could cut any kind of timber they wanted. First thing God does to you is to square you. And if you cannot be square, God will determine you are a rotten log and dump you out. City lieth four square. You've got to be squared up. First, you must be regenerated. That's the first slab God sires on. Second, you must be justified. And third, you must be sanctified. And fourth, you must be glorified. Until a man has been squared, regenerated, justified, sanctified, and glorified, God isn't able to cut 2x4s out of you, 2x6s and nothing else. Are you listening? Scripture, please. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 to 15. Listen. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Are you listening? You quit ignoring God's law. You quit ignoring the Bible. Bless God, you read that book and cry to God. Oh, God, help me to do this book. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Not just read it and look at it, that do it. That they may have a right to the tree of life. And they may do what else? And may enter into the gates into the city. I told you that, didn't I? Enter into that city. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Verse 15, for without the city are dogs, here's the reprobates, and the sorcerers, that these crooked soul winners. I challenge any man that listens to this tape and take up their Greek lexicon and look that word sorcerer. And it applies to these present-day goober-headed soul winners. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing will shake you to death. For without it, dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, and that's these spirits or homosexuals, and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. When you preach salvation by decision, you've loved a lie and you've made a lie. But that isn't so. Men are saved by repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, help us to come back to the Bible and back to God's gospel. Are we going to be damned and rotting our sins? Question number 7. What will precede the holy city? Is there something between us and the holy city? The way of prophecy, there sure is. According to the Bible, there's several things that will precede the holy city that must take place before this wonderful city comes to the earth and becomes the capital of the new heavens and the new earth. Well, in the book of the Revelation, we have 7 things that will precede the holy city. First is Babylon is destroyed. Babylon is destroyed. Second, the Battle of Armageddon is fought. That battle is yet future. And third, the Antichrist is consumed. And that'll take place when the Lord gets back. And all of this I'm talking about will take place when the Lord gets back. And fourth, Gog and Magog are to be judged. And that's these wicked seed of the serpent nations that will be judged and sent to hell with Satan. And Satan has nations, and God has nations. Satan has a seed, and God has a seed. Satan has a church and God has a church. Whether we can take it or not, it's so. The next thing that must precede the holy city is that the wicked must be put in the lake of fire where they can do no more harm. How's God going to keep open house with the devil loose? Will you answer that question? Suppose that the policeman opens all of the jails and the prison houses. Ladies and gentlemen, no decent woman could be safe anywhere. These fellows must be captured and put away. When Christ returns, he's going to take all the sinners in the earth. They're going to be judged and put in the lake of fire and locked and sealed forever. The next thing that will precede the holy city is the false church. It has to be judged and destroyed. Revelation chapter 19, the most awesome, terrible looking chapter in the Bible. We may deal with that tomorrow night. In that chapter, God burns the old harlot church and sends it to hell. And all of the saints say, Hallelujah! Psalms 58 says we're going to wash our feet in the blood of the wicked. Malachi chapter 3 says the wicked will be ashes under our feet. That's what the scriptures say. But I've lived long enough to see that the ordinary person today and many church members pay no more attention to the word of God than with a bullfrog hollering. God, help us to get back to be solemn. And the final thing that will precede the holy city is that the world is to be destroyed by fire and a new heaven and a new earth becomes a reality. That holy city could not come to this earth. That a holy city will not come to this earth. God will bring this earth to a close, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements therein shall melt with fervent heat, and everything that you see will come to where you can't see. Out of that, God will create a new heaven and a new earth, and when he gets that done, here comes the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven, and becomes the capital of the new heavens and the new earth. Then out there's the saved nations and the kings, shall bring their honor and glory into the holy city. If you'll turn quickly to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. If these verses don't make you quiver, I wouldn't know what would. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You believe that? I think I told you about, I'll tell you again. Three of the top-notch scientists in Dayton, Ohio, brought me home from a meeting. And they began to lecture to me about the matter of atomic energy. And they said, Mr. Caldwell, is there a word in the Bible that would indicate that? I said, yes, sir. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, I read it to him. This thing will be melt with fervent heat. And I went into the Greek on that thing, and they screamed, and they said, my God, Mr. Caldwell, that's exactly atomic energy burning this thing up. And I said, the thing we're scared to death about is this. We know if we set off a chain reaction, if we split one atom, unless we can do it so we don't touch the other, that'll be a chain reaction, and every atom in the earth will catch a fire. And this thing will blow up and blow apart. I said, gentlemen, you can sleep tonight and don't worry about that. This thing of burning up the earth belongs to my Father, and that's in the future. Melt with fervent heat. That's a heat that's likened to the atomic energy. Earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. The earth is to be dissolved, the heavens are to be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, the promise of the Lord, look for new heavens and a new earth. They never look for anything else. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're to look for. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Shall we pray? Our Father, bless the little family of faith tonight, and take this tape wherever it may go, and speak to hearts all over the land. Encourage the Lord's people and warn the ungodly that there's a great fire coming, and this fire will blow up the sun, moon, and stars, and this earth planet will pass away back into invisible gas from whence it came. Out of that, our God will create a new heaven and a new earth and put the holy city in it and the Lord's people that will dwell there while the ages of eternity rolls on. For we pray in Christ's lovely name. Amen. Good night. God bless your heart. And we'll see you tomorrow night and in the morning at 10 o'clock.